Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is an interior paint and primer in one with a tough-lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter paint at Menards and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. You won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times, or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months, or the Rogue heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst, so you get its best. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. initial quality study award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown.
Have you ever described a job you had as a nightmare? Maybe it was a crazy demanding boss, a nutty coworker, or just insane everything. If you've ever had a workplace where you had to say, you can't make this shit up on a daily basis, we want to hear about it. Anonymously, of course, on our new podcast, Office Horror Stories. Each week, we'll play back your calls, read your stories, and discuss the craziest, most extreme, and intense workplaces of all time. But to do that, we need your stories. If you have a crazy workplace story in your past or maybe even present, tell us about it anonymously. Just call toll-free 1-833-HATE-JOB. That's 833-HATE-JOB. Or write in your story on our website, officehorrorstories.com. We don't want your name. We don't want the name of the workplace. We just want your story. So you can go ahead and let it all out anonymously. Call toll-free 1-833-HATE-JOB. That's 1-833-HATE-JOB. Or write in your story on our website, officehorrorstories.com. That's officehorrorstories.com. Now you have an outlet to share the craziness that is or was your office. Then stay tuned as we launch the new podcast, Office Horror Stories, this fall. Tell us your story now at officehorrorstories.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what would you do if you saw a true, real ghost, full-bodied apparition? Would you run and hide? Would you grab your phone and try to take a picture? Would you try to make contact? Today, we hear the true story of what happened when one person came face-to-face with a real ghost, full-bodied apparition.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
855-853-4802 is our phone number. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com and support our program. Go to patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all of the bonus material, or you can do it at ghostpodcast.com. Both places, same content, just different platforms depending on what you like. The website, it's all there. It's a little gateway behind the gateway. Once you sign in, you get all of the stuff. Or Patreon, lots of folks, big fans of that. You get the Patreon app, and you can download and get an RSS feed if you want to put the feed into your own player, all that. It's all there for you. Same content, and you get advanced episodes of the show commercial free and bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week. It's not like once a month or something you get a free episode. It's you get an extra episode that is exclusively an EPP bonus episode given to you. It's a little different feel than the normal episodes here, and it's a full one every single week with some of our best ghost stories on it. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. That's how this ship stays afloat, so please do support it and check it out and keep us on the air. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
And anything exciting? Have you seen the bobcat yet that is roaming the streets of our neighborhood?
No, I haven't seen him yet. No. But I did think about that. I took Harper on a trail ride yesterday.
Yeah.
For one of her outings.
Mm-hmm.
And not only am I ridiculously sore because I hadn't been on a horse in 25 years, but I kept thinking, what if we see something like that in the woods when we're out there? And there was a group of us. It was a guided trail company that does it. But I was just worried about that the whole time.
Did you sing Wildfire?
No, I didn't sing Wildfire. No.
I bet you Harper would have liked to have sung Wildfire while you were...
I was surprised she didn't bust out in song. She was the happiest kid ever.
I bet. Now, what would a horse do if it came across a bobcat or
a... Probably rear up.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good.
No.
Yeah. I was talking with Carol about this the other night. Mm-hmm. And I was explaining that some of our neighbors believe that there is a bobcat, and they very likely could be. We're in the middle of a Mark Twain National Forest.
And we don't know if they mean truly a bobcat in the like a lynx type cat or if they mean like a mountain lion.
Yeah. And I looked it up when we were on the show the other night, because I'm like, you know, I was asking, like, well, is it something that's more so the size of our smaller dog bear, who's bigger than a Pomeranian, but, you know, not as big as a golden retriever.
Yeah.
Or is it closer to sting size, a golden retriever? Because one would be more in the bobcat realm. One would be more in the mountain lion realm.
Yeah.
And it turns out there's some pretty big ass bobcats out there.
Okay.
I was looking at pictures of bobcats, like, oh, holy shit, these are bigger than I thought.
Okay.
So it could be pretty big. Okay. Bobcats are larger than what I remember. I'm remembering back to like the bobcat that I saw at Willie's Game Farm in kindergarten when we went on a field trip. I'm like, oh, it's a kitty cat. And they called it a bobcat. I think it's probably more like a feral cat than it was a bobcat. Bobcats can be pretty good in size. So I might be a little wrong on how big those things could be. But yes, mountain lions are certainly larger than a bobcat. But I guess the question is just how large is this cat that they're seeing? And is it like a solid color, which would be a mountain lion, just kind of that tannish?
Sure.
Or does it have the lines and all that? And that's a bobcat.
So
I don't know.
We still don't know, but there's some sort of large feline on the prowl in our neighborhood right now.
Or is it a coyote with mange?
I don't know. We had a fox that was almost unrecognizable.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell. I think you could probably have mistaken that fox for a chupacabra.
Yeah.
Because people are...
Poor thing.
And that's quite often what people, it ends up being. When they're like, oh my God, there's a chupacabra! And it's acting strange and they finally get it. And it's like, oh, holy shit, it's just a really... It's a coyote with a really bad case of mange, you know. I don't know. I said the other day, I want to see the bobcat before we move. And you said, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
So I went and got a whole bunch of Meow Mix.
You did.
And I put it out there. And I have a CD player on repeat. Yes, a CD player, because I didn't want to put a good thing out there. So I found a Walkman CD player. And I made a CD of me just going, meow, 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 meow. And it's running in the backyard right now as we speak with a food mountain of Meow Mix. And I'm thinking that might attract...
Our neighbors aren't going to miss us at all.
The bobcat.
No, it's not.
That might... Maybe it'll bring it up. Do they meow? Do bobcats meow?
I don't think so.
What kind of a noise does a bobcat make? Is it more like a roar, like a lot? Because I could see a mountain lion like, rawr, something like that.
It's probably something like that.
Why don't you do your best impression of it?
Not going to happen.
See, I try and hold your hand and walk you up to the line of making animal impressions.
Yeah.
And you still don't take it. You're still like, not going to get on that ride.
No, not going to happen.
Okay. Bobcat?
I'm not going to do a bobcat impression.
Wow. Good one, Jenny.
That was you, and everybody knows that was you.
That's really good.
God.
It's not video. They can't prove it. Yeah, I don't know. We should look that up while we're in a story. I'm curious. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us or information on what sort of meow bobcats make. It says, my name is Kyle from Springfield, Illinois. I've been listening to the last few months daily while at work. I'm very impressed with your show. I've always been into the paranormal, and this is the perfect podcast for me. Anyways, I've had quite a few paranormal encounters when I was a child until my mid-teen years, and things kind of just mellowed out. I'm 28 now, so I'll just tell you about the earliest event I can remember. I was 5 years old. It was 1996. My mother and I lived in an apartment at the time. Well, this night I was sleeping in my mom's bed with her. I woke up late at night, not sure of the exact time. And as I woke, it's hard to describe the feeling, but I knew when I woke up, something was wrong. You could just feel it in the air. It was almost a heavy type of feeling, but just my luck, I had to use the restroom. So I try to wake my mom to take me to the restroom because I'm scared to do the feeling. But she wouldn't wake up and told me that she was driving and I needed to let her drive, obviously dreaming. Well, the restroom is just down the hall and the light was always on. So after lying there for a while, I gather up the courage to make my way to the restroom. The door to the hallway is at the foot of the bed, by the way, but I get to the restroom, shut the door, get my business done. I wash my hands and all, open the door and head back down the hallway towards my mom's room. I crawl back in bed against the wall, get all comfy and flip over. This puts the door to the hallway at the end of the bed directly past my feet. As I look down at the doorway, there's just this lady standing there in the doorway. I see her so clearly that I can still picture her to this day. I was able to see her, but I could also see the hallway behind her being illuminated by the restroom light. So she was also somewhat translucent. She had long, blondish hair, pale, almost whitish-looking skin. I, for some reason, didn't look like she had a face. It was almost like a blur in a long, full-length red dress, so I couldn't see her feet. I freaked out, tried to wake my mom with no luck. I couldn't get a response out of her. I look back at the doorway, and she's still there. So I hide under the covers. The next thing I know, it's morning. Sorry if I rambled on too much or if the story wasn't as detailed as it could be. As it's a very old memory, and of course, my first time writing in, but have a great day. Thanks for reading. Keep up the amazing work, Brewskis.
I think my favorite part is the mom saying, "Don't wake me, I'm driving."
It sounds like you.
Yeah.
Don't wake me, I'm driving.
Don't wake me, I'm driving.
It's interesting that this could be one of two things, and I guess the question I want to pose is, when there's something paranormal going on, can that entity somewhat paralyze or keep others in a sleep-like state or in an unconscious state when someone is very frightened and wants to communicate, "Oh my God, there's something over here that's freaking me out"? Was the mom in more than just a very, you know, deep sleep because she was worn out? Mm-hmm. Or was there something to do with the paranormal event that was happening that was keeping her engaged in that dream?
I think that sometimes they can pick and choose who stays awake and who stays asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Like the time that you were talking about where you stayed in a haunted hotel as part of a radio stint or whatever.
Yeah.
And you slept like a baby, but your co-host was up all night listening to everything that was going on.
The best recipe for a good night of sleep for me is to go sleep in a haunted hotel.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want me up.
No, they don't.
They're like, "This asshole's going to like try and record us and interview us and do all sorts of shit. We're going to keep him out."
Yeah.
And we'll just terrorize whoever's with him. So it's probably one of the reasons is that a reason why you don't want to stay at haunted hotels with me?
Yeah, because I would be screwed. You'd be asleep and I would be screwed.
I'd be like, and I normally wake up really easily. I wake up easier than you.
Yeah.
In most cases. But I bet that night would be a night that wouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Well, I wonder if that's the case here. I suppose it kind of depends on the individual. If they're always like that deep of a sleeper.
Yeah.
And they're never, popping out of it. But I think that that's a thing. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, we're going to keep you sleeping real nice. How's that working? Is it almost like borderline some sort of possession that they're keeping you under? Or are they like slipping you something, you know?
I don't know.
Is it like, "Hey, we hung out with the cause and we're using, you know."
God, no.
Something like that, you know?
I don't know.
I hope not.
That takes it to a whole new level.
That's really fucked up. Mm-hmm. Really creepy and weird. All right. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. At Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our next letter. It says, "Thanks for your channel. I regret watching it before bed sometimes, but I can't stop. I had what I thought was a paranormal encounter once as a child and wanted to share. I also have a bonus story from my teenage years. It's more comical and a good case of paranormal, you get what you deserve, rather than scary. When I was between the ages of 5 to 7, I can't recall, I was sitting in our kitchen at the bar with a snack. We had a tiny TV with a built-in VCR, and I was watching a tape of classic cartoons. I'd usually be unable to be moved from my favorite animated heroes, but something made me turn my head. The hall just outside the kitchen led to my parents' room, with a bathroom just before you got to their door. Coming from the bathroom was a hunched little old lady with her hands clasped as if praying. I, for some reason, got up and peered down the long hall as she headed for the living room, but she was gone. I never saw her again. My mom says it was my great-grandma, but I doubt it. Grandma had short hair, and this person had a thick bun and was see-through. But I believe she was wearing a dark dress and a white shawl on her shoulders like women long, long ago wore. What do you think? The house was built in the 70s or 80s, so maybe it had to do with the farmland around it. Nothing like that ever happened again, at least around that house. Another story happened 10 years later after my grandparents passed. Their old home was rented to a couple who helped my aunt and uncle train their show horses. My grandmother's china cabinet stood in the living room and contained her prized porcelain dolls, mostly dressed in Victorian dresses, and a few angels. One day, my wife calls my aunt and asks her if she can put a sheet over the cabinets. Confused, my aunt asks why, and the woman responds, "The dolls are watching me." We all think it's funny because the dolls have the kind of eyes that seem to follow you, but the woman insisted the eyes turn towards her and her husband as if disapproving of them. We found out later my uncle fired them and kicked them from the house because the pair were doing drugs in the house. This may have been a drug-induced hallucination, but I like to think the dolls were protecting the home of a beautiful, saintly woman who loved and cared for them as a way of returning the favor.
So does she think that the old lady that she saw before had anything to do with the dolls?
I think it might be.
Like the old lady was using the dolls to take care of the place?
Move the eyes.
Yeah, that's what I was starting to wonder.
So I'm trying to understand this. You're renting a house and the dolls stay in there with the renters?
But it sounds like it was rented from a family member.
So it's just like an extra room type?
I think so.
Yeah. So I'm like, that's an interesting...
Yeah. Or sometimes there are rented places that come fully furnished. I guess dolls count as furnishing as far as decor.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my first red flag.
That would be a great... like Airbnb. I wonder if that could be a concept for Airbnb. And everybody like has like, oh, this is going to be, you know, just like a nice clean place. What if you go for like, this is a freaky place. This is, and not like scary, like dangerous, bad part of town type place to stay, but no, nice neighborhood. But guess what? Our theme is like Carnival of Hell. It's like, there's a clown room and then there's a doll room and all different weird themed rooms, almost like the hotels in the 80s, mm-hmm, that would have like themed rooms. Like there's the jungle room,
yeah,
and the courtroom and things like that. But you base it more on like fear, mm-hmm, rather than adventure.
Yeah, that no, I wouldn't want to have anything to do with that.
No, you're like, no, I'm not going to design that.
No,
that'd be kind of fun. That'd be the most, that'd be the strangest house in the world, mm-hmm, for theming. Can you imagine like putting that one on the market where it's like, oh, this isn't working out so well for renting, so we're just going to sell the place. And every room in the realtor photos are just like those sort of like themes.
I think you'd have a hard time finding an agent that would take it.
They got nothing to lose. It'll sit.
It'll sit. Yeah.
I was having the conversation with our realtor the other day. I said, so when you have a house that is just crazy, that the sellers, they refuse to take any advice you give them. They just say, that's good enough. What do you do? I mean, do you ever just say, I'm not going to waste my time on this? Or do you truly have anything to lose by just taking the listing and hoping to God somebody comes in and makes an offer. He's like, I got nothing to lose on that. You know, I'm not, there's not much work involved because nobody's going to come see it. Or if they are, they're genuinely going to be interested. And, you know, hopefully eventually without it selling for many, many months, that proves to them that they need to take the advice. So sometimes that's what you have to do, is just sit there with them and let it rot essentially until they go, oh, okay, maybe you're right.
Was this our Missouri agent or our Arkansas agent?
Arkansas.
Okay.
Because we went to one house.
The bait and switch house.
Oh my God.
And that was not his fault.
No.
I picked that one out to go see based on the photos online.
It was a house in a nice clean neighborhood, and the online pictures made it look really nice. It was staged well at one time. And we get there and there's like an in-ground pool in the back, and we get into the house and like there's a drywall, like holes ripped out. The carpet that's there smelled like cat. The pool was literally black.
It was. I got the girls out as soon as we walked in and saw the walls, and you could see the pool through the back door.
Yeah.
I was like, nope. And I took them back out. We waited in the front yard.
Had like a slide at one, and the pictures looked great. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, it's blue, it's sparkling, it's pretty. And the slide was like kind of like off its base. And
yeah.
Oh my God. And I knew right away, like, there's no way we're going to deal with this. But me and the realtor were just like, let's walk around. I want to see how people live. Okay, let's see what's upstairs. Maybe Walter White's hiding in a bedroom and he's alive. Spoiler alert. But I don't know. We walked. It's like, how did it get from this, these pictures, which probably were not that old, to that?
Right.
It was just like, holy shit.
Somebody's angry. They have to sell it.
Yeah, that's not going to help.
No.
I don't know. I think if that was that, if I were a ghost and it was a house that I loved and took care of and took pride in and I was dead, I think you'd have to be. You have to be a ghost. Not always. We've heard that in some stories, but in most cases, I would haunt the shit out of those people.
Yeah.
If they shit out my house, even though it's not mine anymore because I'm dead, mind you, I would be very angry at that. Mm-hmm. Like, why? Why did you do this? Like, you're given this nice, just clean a little bit. Not, and why? I understand accidents happen where holes get put into walls without fists.
Yeah.
You know, it's just an odd place. It's like, okay, this is beyond like, oh, I bumped, you know, a piece of furniture over here.
It was way more fixer-upper than we have ever taken on and would take on.
It was like the fixer-upper type shows on television where they go into the property and you can tell the producers went in with a can of spray paint and a sledgehammer beforehand and go, we're going to make this really, we're going to say this house was owned by someone who was thinking that they were going to be abducted by aliens. That was on an episode of something. I don't know what it was. And there's like tin foil everywhere and like signs on the wall in spray paint. And you can just tell, like, this is an adventurous producer. Mm-hmm. This is not how they found the house. But this one was like, this is how that should have looked authentically. Yeah. Need a little more dirt.
Yeah.
To really make that
I've
work.
I've seen houses in better shape on Flip or Flop.
Yeah. They really have been. So anyway, I could see that one. I don't know if it's old enough to be haunted. I suppose anything can be haunted.
No, but I felt bad that we took our realtor to that one because I was like, let's go see this one. It looks really cute. No, hell no.
That was pretty close to the one that we went to that had, you got the vibes in.
Yeah, I got vibes in that one, but it was not bad. It was just somebody hasn't left this house.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to move in with him.
I wonder if that's a question you could ask the, how that would be received by the seller. It's like, potential buyer here, got a question for you. Does the ghost come with the house or will your husband go along with you? Oh, he's been dead now for 5 years. Well, I know, but he's still here. Will he go with you or is he more attached to the house than you? I wonder how that would go over, if that's something you could put in the contract.
No.
like write it in. It's like, fridge stays and so does your husband.
No, that's so weird.
Yeah, not your living, the ghost of the husband stays.
Oh, man.
What's it take to get buried on the property? Can anyone, is that something, is that, This is a good question for the audience. I suppose you probably have a little more leeway if it's like out in the country, like more in county limits than city limits. There's probably ways where you could get that approved.
I think it's state and local laws that are in play there, but also like subdivisions. Like I think there's even a clause in our covenants for this neighborhood about family plots.
Really?
What you can and can't do.
So you can't like get buried in your backyard?
No, I think you can. You just have to do it within certain parameters.
Really?
Yeah, you can fucking bury a body in your backyard, but you can't paint the house the color you want.
Does it have to be marked? Does that have to be disclosed?
I don't know.
Is that a mandatory disclosure? That's an interesting one.
I don't know.
I mean, if you had ashes, you can spread those pretty much anywhere. No one's right. gonna, you know, do shit to you. I mean, Disney says you can't, but people do. But in your yard, you could do that. But what about the burial of the body? Would it be weird if I called the new HOA and asked, like, hey, can I get your CC&Rs? And also, can I bury a body in my backyard? What's the hours of the pool and can I bury a
body?
Let's
try something new with the new state that we're moving to. Let's try and not be the weird family. Let's just try it and see how it goes because we can go down that path so easily. Let's just try not to this time.
We could try that.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of interesting, though. I've never asked that question to anyone.
No. But security here knows that you're, like, the guy that has trouble with his neighbors. And it's like, you're not the troublemaker.
I want people to follow the rules.
I know.
And, you know, I stand on my porch with a gun.
Get a fresh start. Fresh start. No bodies in the backyard.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we've established that. But I would like to be in the backyard of this one if I kick it.
Okay, well, whatever.
I said we had two shovels.
It's not something for you to worry about.
There's less rock to dig into. I'm kidding. 855-853-4802 is our phone number, but Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another letter. It says, hi, my name is Talia. I have a story I'd like to share. Might be a little bit long. The first part is some background from when I was a little kid. This all began happening after my grandpa passed away. We were very close. One night I remember waking up and looking into my closet. It was a large walk-in closet. There was a white figure slowly coming towards me from the back of the closet. It reached the doorway and just hovered there, not moving. I stared at it for a minute and I got scared and ran to my parents' room to tell my mom what I saw. She told me it's probably just my grandpa visiting me and took me back to my room. Over the next few months, I began seeing a lot more things. I'd wake up frequently during the night and my room would be filled with different colored orbs. They would just hover around my room above me. When I got older, my mom would tell me that she would walk into my room in the middle of the night because she heard me giggling. She would find me standing in my bed, reaching up to the ceiling, and I would tell her I was trying to catch the bubbles. I continued to see my grandpa in the orbs for a long time until one day I saw something new. One night I decided to camp out on my bed in a Barbie tent that I had just gotten. I woke up in the middle of the night and something did not feel right. I looked out the window of the tent to see a woman. She looked exactly like my mom. She even wore one of the same outfits my mom wore to lounge in. A duck sweatshirt and green sweatpants. She was standing in front of my dresser, running her hands along the object sitting on my dresser. She investigated the mirror and saw me watching her, and panic came over me. I began screaming for my mom to come into my room. My mom ran in, and as soon as she turned my light on, the woman disappeared. After that, I did not see anything anymore. No more orbs, white mists, or doppelgangers. I told my mom that the bubbles quit visiting me, and she told me, I told your grandpa he can't come see you anymore because it scares you, and he's bringing others with him. She said that might be why everything stopped. Fast forward until I was 17, my friends and I were playing with a Ouija board, come from a very spiritual family, and was always warned against them. But me being the rebellious teenager, I did it anyway. Bad idea, I know. It started out fine, asking questions and getting simple answers. The board said we were talking to a young boy and his mom. Things began to get darker when we asked what the boy and his mom wanted, and the board spelled out, kill you. The planchette began moving very quickly back and forth from the letters Z to O repeatedly. We quickly said goodbye and put the board away, and we were terrified. When I got home, I told my mom what happened, and she expressed how upset she was at me for doing it despite knowing better. I went to Skype one of my friends I played the board with, and when we discussed what had happened the previous night, our connection kept getting interrupted. We eventually gave up and got off the computer. My mom came into my room looking scared. She told me she had researched what I had told her. And there were the two demons, the names that were spelled out that pop up all over the world and terrorize people who contacted them through Ouija boards. I was terrified and decided to quit talking about it and vowed never to play with the board again. My friends, however, did not. They continued to play with the board and both ended up spiraling out of control. They developed a bad drug habit and I eventually lost contact with them. The next year was rough. It was rough in me in other ways. I stopped being able to sleep. I had horrible insomnia almost nightly. I'd lay down to close my eyes and would feel just absolute terror. Like if I closed my eyes, something awful would happen. I'd also vibrate when I lied in bed. I would vibrate so bad I thought something was shaking my bed. I started seeing shadows in my room and began noticing my room just felt a lot heavier. My stepdad would call me when I was out with friends to ask me if I was home because he wanted me to stop jumping around in my room. His room was directly under mine in the basement. I'd hear pounding on my walls in the middle of the night, thinking it was my stepdad playing a joke on me. I'd run into the next room and it would be empty. One night, I was exhausted and just wanted to go to bed. I asked my mom if she would come lay with me until I fell asleep. She came into my bed and rolled over to face the wall, something I had not done in weeks because I did not dare turn my back to my room. My mom began to feel heavy and I felt my mom stiffen up beside me. The next thing I know, my mom is saying, "Come on, let's sleep downstairs tonight." The next day, I asked her what had happened, and she said she saw shadows all around my room and felt something jump on the end of my bed, almost like a cat. She told me she would cleanse my room while I was at school. This helped for a few days, until it didn't anymore. When I'd walk into my room and turn my lamp on, it would make a popping sound, and the light would burn out. I was going through a light bulb a week in my lamp. Eventually, I quit using it and slept with my TV and the hall light on. My TV started turning to static at night. At first, I thought it was a coincidence, but after multiple times of it turning to static at around 11 p.m. and resuming normal cable TV in the morning, I thought otherwise. I tried everything I could think of to feel safe and make things better. I rearranged my room so there were no areas with dark shadows. I burned sage twice a week. I read a prayer before bed and slept with a cross. I put salt in every corner of my room, but nothing seemed to help. One night, I woke up and standing in front of me was a clear outline, but I could see almost sideways rain appearance of the energy. I was bent over sideways, watching me. I began sleeping in the living room on the couch, and that an orb started coming back along with this almost hair-like substance that would hang over me at night. My mom was getting tired at this point and said, "Well, I cleansed your room, and the orbs aren't scary, so I don't know what else to do." I told her I couldn't sleep and it had been going on for months at this point. I was exhausted and irritable. My moodiness was no doubt feeding into whatever was in my house. I was now out of high school and into nursing school and college. I needed my sleep and some clarity to maintain my grades. This is when my mom started looking to see if there was a medical reason for my insomnia and moodiness. She thought maybe my thyroid was off and causing a hormone imbalance. We did all the blood work. It wasn't my thyroid. I started making more of an effort to ignore the things at night. Occasionally, something would happen that scared me so bad, I'd have to leave and go stay at my boyfriend's. Things began getting better when I started staying with him more. I don't know if it was because I felt safe with him or if they just could not find me when I would leave, but I didn't care. I felt free of whatever it was for the first time in almost a year at that point. We had our own house now where I rarely experienced anything and nothing that a little cleansing does not take care of. I'm now a psychiatric nurse, and in the back of my mind, when a patient comes in with the diagnosis of schizophrenia who is seeing demons and ghosts, I can't help but wonder if they really are. Thanks for listening. I know it was a long story. Love the podcast and listen to it almost every single day.
I think that people that have kids in their family that are sensitive need to warn them so much more than even regular kids not to mess with a Ouija board, because I think when you do that and you're already sensitive, sometimes things don't ever completely go away.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be what happened here. It seemed like things just seemed to get worse after she had that incident with the Ouija board and her friends.
Yeah, it's one of those things where once the door is open, you know, there are ways to close it. Supposedly. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
And you never really know exactly what the results may be. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily the mom and the little boy that it's claiming to be.
No.
So thank you for sharing that experience with us. We do greatly appreciate it. That wraps up the program for today. If you like our show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP as we call them. Get all the bonus content. Just go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you all the extra episodes, brand new ones every single week, access to our 270-some in the archive, and commercial-free new episodes released to you in advance weeks before everybody else. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.
You won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times, or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months, or the Rogue heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst, so you get its best. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Initial Quality Study Award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown. You won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times, or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months, or the Rogue heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst, so you get its best. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Initial Quality Study Award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown. You won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times, or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months, or the Rogue heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst, so you get its best. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Initial Quality Study Award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown. You won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times, or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months, or the Rogue heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst, so you get its best. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Initial Quality Study Award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown. You won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times, or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months, or the Rogue heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst, so you get its best. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Initial Quality Study Award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown.